out of all my jam. And now the old has passed away. The new has come. Now I have resurrection power. Living on the inside, Jesus. You have given that freedom. No longer bound by sin and darkness. Living in the light of your goodness. You have given us freedom.
From the grave by day, you called me out of all my shame. I see the old has passed away. The good has come. Now I have resurrection power. Living on the inside, Jesus. You have given us freedom.
And darkness, living in the light.
Has given us freedom because my chains are gone. Amen. We've been liberated. We've been loosed. And we have been set free. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things are brand new. Because see, when we were bound, guess what? We didn't even know we were bound. We were blind and we did not even know we were blind. We were in bondage and not know it. So when he loosed my shackles, when he opened up my eyes, that we could see his love, guess what? We don't mind telling the world, amen, how good he is since we've come into contact with Jesus Christ. Amen. David said, I will bless the Lord. That's why. I will bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord, amen, at all times, and his what? Peace shall what? Continually where? Be in my mouth, and my soul will make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us, somebody said let us, it's all. His name together. Amen. Because guess what? There's something on the inside that I can't explain. There's something on the inside that I can't contain. There's something on the inside that vanishes pain. Oh my God. I thank God. Guess what, church? I've got something within. Amen. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. Those of you that have your Bibles, if you can turn your attention to Philippians in the first chapter. Philippians, first chapter. We're going to be here in the first verse. And I pray that the Lord leads and guides and directs me, even in what we have. Amen. It's really, to me, it's not a whole lot. And we're going to be going into our communion. But I pray to be obedient to the move of the Holy Spirit, to be crucified. Amen. Go somewhere, sit down, and get out of the Lord's way, that he might work a work in this church, in the hearers. Amen. Philippians chapter 1, Paul. Says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with bishops and deacons, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you, and making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first time, from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my bonds and in the defense of the confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers. Somebody say partakers. Partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with all the fruits, with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and the praise of God. But I would that ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather for the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident in my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. We're going to stop right there, but the theme verse is verse 6. Being confident in this very thing, that he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And I just got a title, that he will perform it. Amen. He will perform it. He that hath begun a good work, he will perform it. Let's pray. Most gracious and eternal Father, God, we thank you, we bless you, we praise you, we honor you, we worship you, we reverence you, we adore you, we extol you, we exalt you, O God. You are the only true, wise, and living God. You are the God of the Bible. You are the creator of heaven and earth. You are the creator even of man. And so, God, we give you what is due your name, O God. So just go with us. Have your way in this place. Set the very atmosphere in here. Drive out anything that's an attack on a raid against the knowledge of who you are. Crucify me, oh God, right now. Break my heart to what you have to say. And you said, he that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. God, we love you and we bless you. For it's in Jesus' name and for sake we pray. Let everybody say amen. 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 He that has begun a good work will perform it until the end, until the day of Jesus Christ. He will perform it. Amen. He will perform it. And we thank God for Paul and for the life of Brother Paul and all that he was to so many people. And when you look at his impact after his conversion, and after his salvation, and how he labored even more abundantly above than all the rest of the disciples. And he attributes it to the grace of God. He would say, yet not I, but the grace of God that was in me. Amen. And we thank God. We thank God for we see this passage and we see Paul's brokenness, not just to God in this passage, not just to the Lord in this passage, but we see Paul's heart. His heart was broken to the people of God. Amen. And that's what really stuck with me in this passage. I'm going to let y'all know right now, we will be turning to Acts chapter 16 at some point in this message. We will be turning there because a lot of what Paul was writing here, he was writing to Philippi, to the church in Philippi, and it wasn't much a big church. It wasn't a large following, but it was made up of a town of people, amen, that loved the Lord and people that loved Jesus Christ. And one of the people that who had actually invited Paul into her home was a lady by the name of Lydia. And we're going to read about Lydia. Amen. Lydia was the maker of purple. And Paul preached. And God opened up her heart. And Paul was able to pour in to Lydia. And pour into the slave girl that had been was into sorcery and witchcraft and voodoo and root working and all this stuff, Paul delivered her. Amen. Jesus delivered her through Paul. And Paul said, no, that demon got to come out. It's got to come out. No. One text, and we're going to get there. One text says that Paul was annoyed because she had a spirit of religion. Hey, can we just talk? Amen. She had a spirit of religion, and she was chanting behind Paul and Silas, and but it was religion on top of sorcery. Ooh, 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 ooh. That's what it was. It was religion on top of sorcery and witchcraft. But Paul rebuked the demon and he cast the demon out. And that young witch girl, she gave her life to Jesus Christ. Amen. And when we talk about he that has begun a good work, he will perform it even unto the end. And we see his love, his prayer, his fellowship that God had for these Philippian believers. And Paul was writing this from jail. He was in a Roman prison and he was chained to a guard. Amen. But guess what? You wouldn't know it. You wouldn't know it because of the love he had. Amen. The power of Christ that he had for Jesus Christ. And here in our text, right, when he says, grace be unto you and to peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, I thank God upon you, every remembrance of you. I thank God. He. I'm gonna say a word that ain't in the dictionary. He thanked God for them, thinking about them. He was grateful to God for the converts. He was grateful to God for the people, always in every prayer of mine for you, making requests with joy. And when he says they were always in his prayer, y'all guess what? They were always in his prayer. Paul was constantly praying for converts and praying for the church. And it reminds us, y'all, we've got to be praying. Don't complain about it. Pray about it. Don't talk about it. Pray about it. Take it to the, I don't know what they're going to do. Just pray about it. And that's why we're fasting this month. Because we're going to stop to take time to pray and fast and get on the Tuesday prayer. And get on the Wednesday prayer. Amen. Because we got to know the prayer wheel keeps on turning. And that the Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of the what? Righteous availeth much. We got to pray. Amen. And one thing the devil hates, he hates a praying man or a woman, is dangerous to the devil. And guess what? He does all he can, amen, while he can, to keep you off your knees. But Paul prays. He prayed for him. And sometimes, amen, I get down and pray, and my mind ain't even right. I'm praying. I call myself praying. I'm thinking about what I got to do. Let me see. I got to deal with these folk around the corner. I got to go here. I got to do this. And I'm calling myself praying. And I get to a point in my prayer, I'm like, wait a minute. I got to get the milk, cook the chicken. I got to pay this bill. How this bill going to get paid? The very thing that I'm supposed to be taking to God. The very thing I'm supposed to be casting to him, I'm trying to figure out in my mind how I'm going to handle it. And the Lord just says, thank God he got patience with me. Amen. Has anybody ever been there? Amen. You've been there? Amen. And then I just got to get back on my knees all over again and say, Jesus, help me even in this prayer. I don't even know how to pray. I don't even know what to pray. But may your Holy Ghost, through utterance, through groanings, bring back to you what you want to make the prayer to say. Amen. See, my father talk about Reverend Ballard's wife. And that was her prayer. God, we don't even know the right words to form. We don't even know the right words to say. But God, you know my heart. You're touched with the grief on the inside. Take what's on the inside and make it to be the words that you would have it to be. He prayed. Amen. Fervently for them. And being confident that this very thing, and this is what he prayed, and this is what his prayer was for us. His prayer was for the church, that this very thing which he had begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. He will perform it. He will perform it. He will perform it. And when we come into salvation and the Holy Ghost comes into our heart, amen, the Holy Spirit must go to work on us to conform us into the image of Jesus Christ. Amen. And when the Bible says, in Philippians chapter 2, it's only on the next chapter, 2:13, it says, wherefore, beloved, 2:12 says, wherefore, beloved, he says, as ye has always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now more in my absence. He said, work out your own what? Salvation with fear and trembling. Two words, fear and trembling. Fear and trembling. Can you work for your salvation? Absolutely not. That's not what he's saying. But that deposit that I've placed in you, it must be worked out. Amen. Heard Reverend Ruffin say one time, you got some good stuff in you. Amen. You got some good stuff in you, but that was in you must be worked out to your hands. That's in you must be worked out to your feet. That which is in you must be worked out to your eyeballs. Oh, Lord, that which is in you must be worked out even to your ears. Be careful of the things that you hear. And guess what? That which is in you must definitely be worked out to your mouth, that you ought not say the things that you used to say and be able to just sit up and gossip and cuss and do everything else. But there ought to be a change. Amen. He says, work it out with fear and trembling, for it is God. Somebody say, it is God. It is God that works in you. Amen. It is God that works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Amen. And so when we talk about this Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, he that hath begun a good work, he will perform it to the end. There's three things. There's three things that he must work through in us. Amen. And the first thing is he must work a work for us. He worked a work for us when he died on the cross. Amen. He said, I'm going away, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send one that's going to testify in my name. He shall be in you and upon you. He shall convict you. He shall comfort you and all these things. That's the work he worked for us, and that's salvation. Amen. So not only did he worked for us for salvation, but he works a work in us unto sanctification. Amen. So he works a work for us, and now he works a work in us for sanctification. Amen. And we see these examples of salvation. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. We see the example of sanctification. Amen. And not only that, but the work that God does through us. Amen. The work that God does through us. There's a work he does through us. And we're going, all examples are in Acts chapter 16, and we're going to look at it in just a minute. Amen. Because God broke my heart. He broke my heart. Sometimes you can't hear much. And we could come up here with so many different things to preach about and sermons and open up the newspaper and watch the news. But the Bible says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. We've got the church. We've got to be sensitive to what God is saying to us. And I'm telling y'all, God's desire does not stop at salvation. His love, guess what? Don't even stop at sanctification. But the love of Christ, amen. The end result is for him to work through us. And that's called service. So we have salvation, sanctification, and then we have service. Those three things in that order, amen. And in that service is as God working through us that he might give us the ministry. He's given us, not might give us, he's given us the ministry of what? Reconciliation. That God was in Christ Jesus. Amen. It's in our theme from retaliation. Y'all know we had a spirit of retaliation. And somebody might say, well, Pastor, I don't know. I didn't have that spirit. I wasn't saved, but I didn't have the spirit of retaliation. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Amen. I don't care if it's not speaking to somebody because of what they done to you. Without Jesus Christ, you can't really forgive. For real. Amen. For real. And listen, we had a spirit of retaliation to get back at somebody. Or get back at something or something that happened in our life. Even in our subconscious, we may not know we had the spirit of retaliation and the spirit of alienation, but the spirit was there. It was there. Amen. Whether you wasn't speaking to somebody, whether you would cut somebody off without Christ, but now that he's pricked your heart, you've accepted him into your life. Guess what? Reconciliation came. And God has given us all the ministry of reconciliation. Amen. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 or 16, it says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself. Amen. By Jesus Christ. Well, 17 is this 18, and hath given us, listen, church, is given us the ministry of reconciliation. We're all ministers. We are all epistles. Amen. Being read of men. Being witnessed of men, being witnessed of people that don't know Jesus Christ. Amen. And guess what? Anybody that's unsaved is an enemy of the cross. Whether they want to be or not. Amen. They're enemies of the cross. Guess what? It's bad enough you got your own enemies that you ain't forgive. But then you got enemies of the cross, people that don't know Jesus. And guess what? Some of us were the only light that they're going to see of Jesus Christ. And guess what, church? God must work through us. When he says, work out your soul's salvation with fear and trembling, the oughts, the hang-ups, the isms, the schisms, the people in your family that you're not speaking to. Guess what? God must work through you that you might forgive them. Amen. The Bible says, by this will all men know that you are my disciples. Why? That's the rubber test. That's the acid test. Anybody can say, oh, I love Jesus. He's my savior in times of trouble, whatever the song is. Anybody can run around the church and talk about how much they love Jesus. But I got news for for you. Your love for Christ only goes as far as your love for your worst enemy. That's a tough pill to swallow, ain't it? We've got to love our enemies, y'all. We've got to love people that persecuted us. People that hate us. People that talked about us, lied on us. Our bosses at work. We've got to love them. They've got to see Christ. We can't say, amen. Corey can't say, Dad, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. And she's not speaking to her brother. Amen. Well, I'm going to be like, well, if you love me, you need to love your brother. Amen. Amen. Listen, not only is there a, what do you call it, latitude and longitude? Is there a longitude love for Jesus Christ? But there must be a latitudinal love. Amen. For one another. Amen. We must reconcile. And guess what? Have the can't help us. And this is why, y'all. John 3:36 says this. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. But he that believeth on the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. Listen, we need to know that the wrath of God, guess what? It hangs out over the people that don't know Jesus. And so when we run into them and we see them, amen, we just say that's their problem. They hanging out in the liquor store. They hanging out on the corner. They're on drugs. That's their problem. Guess what? My Bible says when Jesus looked over the multitude, when he looked over Jerusalem, guess what? He wept. He wept because they did not know him. And I'm telling y'all, there ought to be just a urgency in our hearts that it's not just about my 4 children. It's not just about me and my wife and 5623 Beaver Dam Road. It's not just about me. But y'all, we got to have a heart of compassion for those that don't know Jesus Christ. We got to, y'all. We can't say we're in love, we're wrapped up, tied up, entangled up, and we're in fulfillment. And guess what? That fulfillment stops at my salvation. But God must work through us. Amen. To wit that God was in Christ Jesus, reconciling the world. Amen. Back to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And have committed unto us the word, the ministry of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he had made him to be what? Sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Amen. And when you look at Paul being stopped on Damascus Road, he was going on his way to kill the Christian and ordering the death of Stephen. When Paul took a look at the grace of God that saved and delivered him. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Listen. Listen. It says, for I have delivered chapter 15, verse 7 says, after that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last, all he was seen of me also. As one born out of due time. And I am the least of the apostles. That I am not meet to be called an apostle. because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And this grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. Amen. And we got some people with some testimony of what you've seen God do in your life and the mess that you were, and that God would save you, clean you up, put you on a roll car straight. You're even dressing yourself, looking like something. But guess what? Yet not I, but it's the grace of God that's in me, the wretch and the mess that I was. And if God could stop me on 95, on a motorcycle, being taken under a tractor trailer, and he said, face me or face the people. Amen. And I said, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord, I'll go. Amen. Guess what, y'all? And guess what? That testimony that I have is so personal. And the testimony that you got is so personal. What God's done in your life. Went to sleep a blunder and woke up a wonder. It's only Jesus that delivered you. It's only Jesus that saved you. It's only Jesus that broke the cords, the generational curse that was over your life. You were a whole mess, a hot mess. But the fact that a holy God would die on the cross to save you, would die on the cross to rearrange you, would die on the cross, his nails, it wasn't the nails that was in his hands. It wasn't the nails that was in his feet. Amen. That thief said, come down. He could have called on a legion of angels, but he stayed right there. He commended enough that while I was a sinner, amen. And you can't go run, tell that and tell somebody else about the goodness of the Lord. You mean to tell me that grace only stops with you and your children? And you don't have grace for somebody else? Amen. Y'all, we've got to get to loving. We've got to love people. We've got to love our enemies. And that's why David could say, he said, create in me a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit that I might worship you. God, I don't want anything hindering you. And I tell people all the time, you want to preach, 85% of preaching is not preparing the message. But the Sunday school teacher, the one that cooks in the kitchen, the one that whatever your job is, the Bible study teacher, the preparation that God has for us is the heart. We talk about salvation, sanctification. It's the sanctification process to deliver me. To deal with the crooks, to deal with the stuff, to deal with the dirt in my life. Amen. Bible says, if any man say he's without sin, he's a what? A liar. And the truth is not in him. Amen. When I think about the goodness of Jesus, I'm telling you, man, I sat up one night. And the Lord, this was a couple years ago. And the Lord said, no, brother, it's still there. You need to pick up that phone and forgive. It's still there. And God had to deal with me. Just like he had to deal with Jacob. Just like he had to deal with David. Just like he had to deal with Paul in the thorn. And as God deals with him. And deals with your heart. Guess what, church? You will have the can't help us for real. When I think about the mess that I was. And somebody might be saying, well, you was a pastor's son. It don't matter. Sin is sin. The stuff that I was into. Amen. And when God could deliver me and save me.
and wash me with his amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Blind, but now I see. When I think about why would he love me so? When I think about why would he send his son to die? When I think about the Lamb of God, the blood that came streaming down. When I think about the mental anguish that he went through, the suffering that he went through, the stuff that he went through for me, just for me. He did it for me. And when I know that you know that you know that you've got Christ, Jesus living on the inside, that's why Paul said, I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. I want to know him in the fellowship of his suffering to be made conformable to his very death. We got to know him that way, that his life and his life, guess what, is worked through us. Amen. Guess what, y'all? We've got to be intentional about this ministry of reconciliation. He that performed the good work will perform it until the end. We must be intentional about our families. We've got to reconcile our families. And guess what, y'all? We've got to reconcile our churches. Some of the worst hurt is church hurt. Because people have gotten saved and come into the church. Right? The very place where they're supposed to be loved and led to Jesus Christ, some of the worst hurt has happened in the church. Lord, send a revival and let it begin with me. Guess what, y'all? Judgment must start with the house of the Lord. Amen. Judgment must start with us. And when you look at Philippians, listen, when you look at Philippians, you back in our text, in verse 4, he said, always making a prayer of mine for you, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel. Listen, for your what? Fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And then in verse 7, he says, even if it is meet for me to think of this of you all, because I have you all in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, that ye all are partakers. That we must be partakers of his grace. Amen. For God is my record. You know something if you say God is my record. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. That's how much he loved him. And guess what, y'all? I can't help it. I love people. Can you say, do you love people? You gotta love. Somebody said no. I'm teasing. Amen. Somebody's face might look like they're saying no. Amen. Listen, we've got to love people. My wife would tell, listen, I can't help myself. Ask me why I'm so crazy. Because God has called me to love people, not just me, all of us. We've got to love people. People are in darkness. And guess what? Not only do they have wrath hanging over their head, but they have death hanging over their head. My little boy says, I see dead people. They are a dead man walking, dead woman walking. You may be the only light. Witness to that girl on your job. Witness to that boss. Witness to that friend. Amen. Don't forget to let them know about Jesus. We got to witness, y'all. We got to go out to the highways and to the hedges. There was a man that he felt the Lord. He was a new convert in Christ. And man was teaching him and talking to him about witnessing the people and letting them know about Jesus Christ. Listen, Paul was dumbfounded. He did not care. He was in prison being stocked to a jailer, but he was still letting everybody know about Jesus. And the man said he went to the store. And he went to the store And the man checked him out. He brought a pair of shades, right? And he wanted to say something, but he couldn't. So he went out the store, right? And then he said, I got to get up the curves and talk to this man about Jesus. I don't know. I don't even know the man. But he went back in the store. And he said, you know why I brought these sunglasses? Because of the S-U-N, right? And he said, thank God for the S-O-N, Jesus Christ. And he said, he thought to himself, he said, man, you sound like a fool. The goofiest, corniest joke that I could tell. But he said, he thought about it, and then a man that was behind the counter responded. And you know what the man said? The man said, you know what? I've been thinking about giving my life to Jesus Christ, but something has been holding me up. This was the witness that I needed to accept the Lord Jesus Christ into my life. Amen. Let's turn to Acts chapter 16. You never know where somebody is. You never know what somebody's going through. You never know what somebody is dealing with, that something you can say to them will lead them to Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 16. Amen. Acts chapter 16. Amen. And this is what the Bible says. We look at Paul, and we look at the work of salvation, sanctification, and service, the ministry of reconciliation. Amen. Verse 14, 16 says, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. We see here how God opened her heart. Paul didn't open her heart. Guess what, y'all? You can't save nobody. But guess what? God asks us for us to be in position that Christ might work through us. And guess what, y'all? Paul wasn't even going to go to Macedonia and Philippi. But the Holy Spirit said, just go. And guess what, y'all? As a church, as a people, when we encounter people, when we see people, even in our families, even our own children, even in our own house, wherever it may be, children in school, on your job. Amen. Never suppress the opportunity to witness and let them know about Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, it's not enough just to be a light for Christ. Yes, be a light. May your light be an example for Christ. But you better know how to lead somebody to Christ. Amen. And we're going to talk about that too. And he says, and she went and was baptized. And her whole house, amen, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abode there. And she constrained us. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination. Amen. She met us, which bought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and she cried, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God, which show us the way unto salvation. And what she was really doing was mocking, or she was acting or playing the part of religion, but she was still trying to hold on to her stuff. Right? And the Bible says, and this she did many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he and came out in that same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas, and they drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men being Jews, these men, they're messing up our money. These men are messing up our work. And because, see, Paul was compelled, because Paul was constrained, because he knew what God had done for him. And what God has done for me, he'll do the same for you. The same grace that God saved him on Damascus Road. He didn't care. He didn't mind letting people know about Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things are made new. And then they said here, and teach customs that are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them. The magistrates, they rent their clothes. They rent their stuff. They commanded them to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison. And guess what, church? They charged the jailer to keep them safely, who having received such a charge, he thrust them, guess where? Into the inner prison. And he made their feet to fast in stocks. But guess what? The Bible says we have this treasure, an earthen vessel, that the excellency of that power is not of us, but is of God. Troubled on every side, but not distressed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always what? Bearing about. Where? In the body, the what? Dying of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why we've got to die, that Christ might live. That's why Paul said, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principality, nor powers nor things to come, neither death itself can separate us from the love of Christ Jesus. Amen. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, our Lord. That's why the song says, I've learned how to live holy. I've learned how to live right. I've learned how to suffer, because if I suffer, I shall gain eternal life. I want to know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, to be made conformable even unto his death. We see Lydia was saved. The slave girl was saved. Then they threw him in prison. But the Bible says at midnight, when you know that you know that you know that you've got Christ Jesus living on the inside, his peace will stir up. His joy will stir up. His compassion will stir up. His love will stir up. You have clapping in your hands, running in your feet at midnight. Paul and Silas, they sang and sang praises unto the Lord. And the Bible says there was an earthquake, and the jail began to sing, and the prisons opened up, and all of them were free. And the one, the jailer, the guard who was watching the prison, guess what, y'all? He took the knife and was about to kill himself. But Paul, the grace that stopped him, the grace that saved him, reached to him and said, no, don't kill yourself. And the jailer said, what must I do to be saved? Well, you know that you know. Trouble don't answer our way. It's what God is doing in us and through us to draw somebody to himself. I'll never know why he loved me. I'll never know why he cared. I'll never know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, oh, oh. But I'm so glad that he did. Paul was a man possessed. Amen. Running to tell people about Jesus Christ. Amen. He didn't mind. And that's why he said, don't worry about me. Even in my chains, the affliction and the bondage that I'm going through has working out for the what? Furtherance of the gospel. Y'all, we've got to be in position. Think it not strange when something fiery is to try you or test you. But you can rejoice. knowing that you are partakers of Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul loved them. As we stand to our feet, Lydia got saved. The possessed girl, she got saved. And y'all know what it did? It kicked up warfare and a satanic attack where Paul was thrown in the prison and Silas. But guess what? Even though I'm going through this stuff, God is still working his peace, his witness, his love in my life for the furtherance. That's why he could write that letter back to them and encourage them that he that had begun a good work will perform it. This guard was about to kill himself. And Paul said, no. And not only we see Lydia's household got saved. And guess what? The jailer, his household, they got saved. And Paul baptized them. They had fellowship. And guess where the church started? The church started in Lydia's house. And they would meet there. And the love, Paul could say, in my bowels, God is my witness that I love the fellowship after salvation. We talk about through this pandemic, we got to figure it out. We got to be led. We've got to get back to church. We've got a fellowship. Forsake not yourself, the assembling of the saints. It's the fellowship that our hearts are made glad. And if there's somebody here that doesn't know love of Jesus Christ, and you want to accept them into your heart, you can come right now and give your life to Jesus Christ. As the choir sings, is there one? Is there one?